to be a savior. But God loved the world, man and woman, child, boy and girl. He loved them so as to send his only begotten Son into this world. That's the truth they have here, you know. For he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we have the assurance of life eternal. And of course, we can turn to the 10th of John, where we have that sweet chapter that tells us we're held on the shoulders of that blessed one. All creation, you know, and it's a matter of that. God says he's going to hold us on his shoulders when the Lord Jesus tells us that we're held on both his shoulders. Don't be secure when the Father is there at all. Says Jesus too. Oh, how safe we are in him. What a place of blessing. What a place of nearness of all who are saved and lost. On the last verse of this same chapter, it's a serious verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the blessed truth we've been talking about. God's security and safety in him. Simple thing. Believeth on. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Oh, that's just a short. Shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now I ask the question tonight. Is there one here upon whom the wrath of God is abiding? God says it's there. If you haven't put your trust in Christ, the wrath of God abideth upon you, and it's going to be there throughout all eternity, unless you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ before you leave this thing. The serious matter is that. Oh, dear saint of God, how about your children? Are they saved? Oh, are they bound for glory? Have they life eternal? Dear boys and girls, don't forget the seriousness of it. Put your faith in Christ, passing on where they're bound. Where they're bound, where are you going? And the little brother bound to a Spanish speaking person. It was written in the Spanish language, and I can read it. But I have what to say on the outside of this. They read it in the sense of, where are you going? That's what it means. I ask you, on, whither bound? Where are you going? When you leave this world, where are you going to spend eternity? Eternity where? Eternity where? It's a long question. It's a serious question. Every one of us must answer, young or old. That serious question as to where eternity is going to be spent. Don't make light of it. Don't make light of it or leave that door tonight without having put your trust in Christ if you're still unsaved, if you haven't done so. Now I want to talk, turn a little further to Hebrews. Hebrews 9, 24th verse. Here we have the reappearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know he came into the world. We know the man Christ crucified him, away with him. They didn't want him. They don't want him today. Mention the name of Jesus to your neighbor. Unless he's a Christian, he loves that name of Jesus. I tried that many times, but almost always had the same answer, or no answer at all. Why? Because they don't realize the seriousness of verses such as this. Why we must meditate upon the word of God. Let's be sure of our salvation, sure of what Christ has done. But here we have a little of it made plain to us in three, four verses. Very clear. The three appearing of the Lord Jesus. For Christ is not, that's the 24th verse in the 9th chapter. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself up, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, after death, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here then we have We find verse in Ephesians 26 verse from the leaders of his coming first in love and grace. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world or age hath he appeared and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is when he first came into this world. That's taken place. You know, there's a past, there's a present, and a future in regard to this. Christ came into the world, died. That was his mission. That's what he came for. That was God's plan from past eternity. That this blessed one should die. We find the 26th verse, he appeared and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All we all see of him as a Lamb of God. And how he's clearly pointed out to us to be that perfect Lamb. Without spot or blemish that should come. The sacrifice of old, you know. All pointed forward to the time when this blessed one should come. When he should be that true Lamb of God and provide a Savior. Then we go to the 24th verse. We find his present work. That's what he's doing now for us. I say for us, for those who put their trust in Christ. He's there appearing in heaven itself, now to hear the presence of God for us. You know, I like to combine this type of meeting with the truth in regard to Christian walk and pathway likewise. I don't believe it's faithfulness to call on the Bible speaking if he's not warning man about the lost condition before God. First, but that's the first step. That must be before we can be blessed for eternity. We must have Christ as our own Savior. Unless we have that, all we mentioned before, we're lost and lost forever. Here in the 26th verse, we find that he's appearing in heaven for us, for the sake of God. Oh, how good it is to know he's there interceding. We know many passages in Scripture would refer to the Lord Jesus being taken out of this sea. Man, we question whether the Lamb in glory. If we read this word, we wouldn't question, would we? We find in Acts after his crucifixion, after he rose again and so on, that he was seen going up into heaven, and then the angel says, this same Jesus is taken from you, shall come again in like manner. If you've seen him go into heaven, he's going to come again. Oh, he's going to come in a moment. Take those from this scene who put their trust in him. Oh, are you looking forward to that bright and blessed day when the Lord Jesus is going to come and take you home to that bright scene above? There in the Father's house in which he tells us there's many mansions. You're going to be there, dear one. Are you sheltered by the blood of Christ? Are you sure of being there? You don't have to doubt, as we mentioned before. You look into that of the security that belongs, and that's part of our blessing. You know that we are saved for all eternity. So in the 26th verse, we find that he's there. Or the 24th verse, rather, he's there in the presence of God for us. What a work that is. So we find in the latter part of this chapter, also the last verse, we find us, so Christ, in the 28th verse, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, should he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, apart from sin. Here we know it's not a question of sin being settled and judged at that time when he comes. We can know ahead. We can know now, we can know before that coming day, whether we have that to look forward to or not. And as we look a little further in the scriptures, come and draw our hearts nearer unto him. Maybe we're watching and waiting for that glorious moment that's coming, for that is that which you and I should truly enjoy and should enjoy rightly. So we look for him, it's only for those that look for him. Don't fear the second time without sin unto salvation. I like to think of that little story, that little tract that we read many years ago, you know, of the father who was away and was coming back. The word had been received and he was coming at a certain time. So we find one of the little children sitting in the living room and not too much concerned. Oh yeah, she knew. She was asked why she wasn't out to meet her father. So who's coming? He'll be here. And the other child was hanging on the gate, waiting and watching down the highway for her father to return. Oh, how good it is to be one like that. One who's really waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And truly watching also. Oh, how cheering it must be to find one who's truly waiting and watching. But when he's coming, you know, I ask a question. Whether what we're going on with, what we're doing is honoring to our blessed Lord in such a way that when he comes, will not have to be ashamed of his coming. This little child who was at the gateway waiting for a father to return was one who was truly watching. May it be so with us as we journey through this season. I'm going to turn for just a few moments to the 14th of John, a passage which tells us so clearly the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And the promise of his return. 14th of John. This is something I think we should all enjoy to the fullest. The first few verses, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. How good it is to be saved and to have the assurance of life eternal. I think of some of the last words and expressions of some dear saints of God who have left this scene. Just to make our dear sister Rose connect with. She was truly saved and wrote many sweet poems about the Lord's coming. Was it just idle tales that she wrote? Oh, was it just a theory that she held? Oh no. When she left the scene and was about to leave it, she said to those who were attending her to her nurse, she said, don't you see the doors open? Don't you see my Savior standing there welcoming me with his outstretched arms, calling me home? And she said, oh no, you don't see. You don't see that blessed one, but he's there. He's walking me home. Oh, that blessed one is there, you know. Stephen, when he was stoned, the first part of the stone, the heavens were open, and there he saw Jesus. The one for whom he was dying, for whom he was a martyr, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Oh, what an encouragement to know that that blessed one is there, that the man of the glory waiting for you, waiting for me, dear Saint of God, washing the presence of the blood of Christ, having a shelter on flat ground and not alone. How good it is to know that it's ours to enjoy it. Here then we go. Through this scene, we can enjoy that blessed truth. And just something that we've heard so many times, you know. I know it's been preached in this little room many, many times, that many years ago. I was in this room over 30 years ago, and I heard that blessed truth come and brought forth very clearly and plainly by one who was faithful in this room. Speaking for the Savior, speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling of his soon coming, what is 30 years later now than what that day when I heard it spoken here. But oh, how good it is to know that that coming is 30 years nearer than it was then. And I do believe that there's evidence of it now. Much more so than it was at that time. But dear some of the dear saints of God, I will look forward to that time when they can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Paul could say that we which are alive and remain in the coming Lord be caught up. We, the Apostle, even look for it. And that's what the Lord would have us to enjoy it as a present hope. Something that isn't distant. I heard someone say just the other day in the morning, well, I suppose the Lord won't come for a little while because the temple is going to be built in a certain place. Although they say, I know the large columns are being poured now in Italy and will be set up soon. Oh, what can take place? This blessed coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more needs to be fulfilled before that takes place. His coming is very near. And I believe that's why there is an exercise of heart with man today. I don't know how real it is, but there is quite a concern amongst mankind. Life is so dangerous, you know. So full of trouble and distress, they want to know what's going to happen. For that reason, they want to know more of the future. But oh, they don't want to know more about Christ, their Savior, or he should be their Savior. The Savior, the one who is sufficient to save and long eternity and to save forever. Here then we find this blessed one. Speaking, ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, man, I often say so. Yes, I believe in God. But to mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must come through him. Don't forget that. Oh, it can be reached the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in sufficient to believe in God, but we all believe in that. We look outside and we see the trees growing, we see the crops growing year after year.
Well, we couldn't help but believe in our God, could we?
But the question is, do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the one that God sent into this world to save us from the lost eternity.
Do we believe in Him?
He came to make the Father known, you know. Now do we believe in Him? He said also, He said, you only come to the Father through me.
So put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior.
We sometimes read and often read, in fact, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I might say that the psalmist could say, He's mine. So make it an individual thing. It's not sufficient, you know, if your father, your mother, or your parents, way back, grandfather perhaps, and he was saved and faithful perhaps. That isn't sufficient. Oh no, it's a question, do I believe? Is he my Savior? Have I taken him? Do I know him as mine? Have I idolized him? I need assurance of knowing that I'm going to be in that bright scene when the Lord Jesus comes to what he's speaking here. He's speaking of his coming again. In my father's house for many nights. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he's going into heaven to prepare that place. And the place is ready now. Oh, it would have taken a great while. It would have taken him about 2,000 years, you know, to prepare that place. He's extending the day of grace to this very day. Think of it, 1958, he's here offering salvation because he's gracious and long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. That's why my Savior is still waiting. That's why he's still in glory. That's why he hasn't come before this time. Oh, how good to have that blessed hope before us there. Looking for that blessed hope that we find in Titus 2. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, he's not going to send a master. He's not going to send a judge. He's not going to send a substitute. He's going to go himself to get his bride. He's coming. He's coming soon. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, do we all be there? Sometimes we have a little difficulty. And when difficulties arise, we say, oh, Lord, if our Lord only come in the river, that's from this awful evil world. Oh, that would be wonderful. Be a great relief to hear one. May the perfection of the person of Christ so affect our hearts that we'll also be in that soul. Not merely to be through the difficulties of this evil. Oh, that would be blessed for us. But all to see him, to see his face, there won't be a thing tomorrow of happiness and enjoyment of that person. Now as much comes in, I think of that when we worship in the morning, you know. Our thoughts roam and we think about other things, far away perhaps. It won't be a soul in that coming day when we worship and praise. It's going to be with lips that are ruined. We're going to sing the praise of the one who died. We're going to sing that song of him being worthy we read in Revelation. Oh, how wonderful it is. I often think of that book of judgment telling us of that bright scene too, where the saint of God is going to worship that one and adore that one. Oh, he's so good and so gracious. Amidst the judgment that's recorded in that book, here we find passage after passage speaking of the blessing for Maya, of the supper, of the bride, the lamb's wife, all that in scenes of glory. He tells us that to cheer our heart. And then the very last, he tells us again, whosoever will may come. So dear ones, have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Do you love him? Have you trampled on the blood of Christ, or are you still trampling on the blood of Christ? It's a serious matter. Here then, as he says, he's going to come again. He says, I will receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Oh, may that be a blessed truth to us, that we hope, not only hope, but enjoy. Then we find in the 16th verse, he was telling them the disciples, of course, and those who followed him, were much concerned about the blessed Savior leaving them. And so we find the 16th verse, I will pray the Father, he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. but ye know him that dwelleth with you, and so on. Well, that's what's hindering judgment coming upon this world. Now, I know some would make light of truth like this. They would consider it isn't very necessary to be enthused about the gospel because it's an old story. But dear ones, if we're not enthused about the gospel, if we're not much concerned about that and the welfare of our souls, think of the dreadful reality of a lost eternity without Christ forever. Perhaps that would exercise your mind. You know, we don't often speak of the dangers of a lost eternity because we like to speak on subjects of love. I do. I like to speak on subjects, you know, which tell of the love of God to man. But oh, it would be painful if we just speak of the righteousness of God also. The fact that if we never left that, which he has told us was so necessary, if we don't accept the free gift, how do we expect the blessing? So how serious it is to turn a deaf ear to make light of the gospel, the grace of God, whether saint or unsaint. Serious because one of whom we're speaking here, and we've read in the 14th chapter, he's coming soon. His coming is definitely near. And when he has come, the Spirit of God will be at this taken with the bride, taken out of his sin. And I would like to be in this scene when the Spirit of God has been withdrawn. Oh, if I see the evil that's taking place, especially in the larger city, the awful condition of things, the state of things, the state of souls with man. Oh, I dread to think of what's going to happen to this poor world when the Spirit of God is withdrawn and taken from the soul. And when the Christian is gone, there'll be a free course for Satan to take the course that he wanted all the time. He wanted freedom. You had it. But all the awful judgments that are wasted, ones who are left behind. I would like to be left behind, would you? I remember when I was saying a good number of years ago, a faithful brother said, now you won't have to fear the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because you're safe in him. You're secure in him. And he's been a comfort and a cheer, and I think of it often. I've never doubted my salvation. Have you, dear saint of God? Have you questioned sometimes when difficulties arise of whether you're truly saved or not? Whether you're going to be blessed for all eternity? I've never doubted that. Because those blessed truths that were presented when I was a young man have been very precious and dear to me. May they be dear and precious to every one of us in the room tonight. The fact that we're saved through grace and have a promise of life eternal, and that nothing can take us out of his hand. Whether it's the enemy, whether it's man, devil, angel, no one has power to take us out of his hand. So let's turn to Romans. Although it's been a sweet message to me, the latter part of the 8th chapter. Second verse. We also find the 28th verse. And you found it comforting. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Then you are the called according to his purpose. Now, 30 seconds. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is God that died, he rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as is written for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See how safe we are. You know we troubled by a bit, are you not? There's a lot of difficulties, there's a lot of testings along the way. But all of our tested it only prove whether we're real in the face of God or not. You know, A brother mentioned to me some time ago, said there are difficulties in your pathway, I know. But the Lord is going to try whether that which you've spoken so often, that all things work together for good, is really your thought of the scripture too. When you really enjoying the truth that all things work together for good to those who love God. God doesn't allow a thing except for our blessing and for Christians. He does it for our good. Say the sickness, the injury, the loss of loved ones, is that for our good? Well, I'm sure it is. You know, we sometimes get settled down in the sea. We don't just live in tents, and if we are living in tents, we found these stakes of our tents pretty deep into this poor world. And then oftentimes the Lord must move these stakes and loosen them so that the stakes won't hinder us. And we can be a traveling people, a pilgrim and a stranger down here. For he told us to be that, to be a pilgrim and a stranger in this scene. That he is not taking part in it. Oh, you don't want to be like Lavina. He was one who was saved, all right. But where was he found? He was found in a place where he shouldn't have been. He was there connected with that which he shouldn't have been connected with. Oh, I couldn't excuse Lot at all. I think the Lord is gracious in saying, righteous Lot next to his soul from day to day. Oh, he shouldn't even have been there. He shouldn't have been in that place as judge. Oh, what power was there? Was there any power in his walk? Was there any power with his sons in law? No. Because he was a judge in the gate of the city in which he was making this report. This city is going to be condemned. It's going to be overthrown with ashes. This thing is one that we can be a testimony only in the measure that we walk in separation in this scene. We cannot judge against a thing if we're connected with it in any way. Now, are you and I going to pass the separation that's leading to our Lord? Are we acknowledging Him as the one who's our sole object? Do we acknowledge that treasure being in heaven? Are we the center of our affection? Oh, don't forget this. Let's turn to the passage from Peter. Peter, first chapter, 18th verse. As much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, in the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's our safety. There's our fortune. We're saved at a great cost. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ to lay aside his glory. And they've got more that we might be rich in glory with himself in the coming day. He laid it all aside. Here we find that we're redeemed with, not with corruptible things. Silver and gold are corruptible. They make a lot of, in the mint in Denver, they make a lot of money. Press it out, you know. And they put a lot of hardening material. But that is considered so precious, the scripture says, not silver and gold. When they stamp out gold and silver, they put a certain amount of hard metal with it. Because otherwise that gold is so precious would wear away. But all here it says, we're not redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. With anything but the precious blood of Christ. How good it is to know that that's our portion. That depends on Him, all of our blessings. Depends on that blessed one. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now in Ephesians 5, we find that the bride of Christ is mentioned as being without spot or blemish in that coming day. So everyone who has faith in Christ is a part of the bride of Christ that's going to be taken to that bride scene and going to be presented there as a spotless bride. Oh, there's no one nearer to the heart than the bride. And so the Lord Jesus makes a great deal of his saints. You think he is going to watch over sins of the law and might get that to the sea? You think he's going to forget about us somewhere here? Oh, no, no. Let us not forget about him that either. Let us not forget that he is the one who shed his precious blood. At a great cost he redeemed us. Let us not forget that blessed one who died on the cross of Calvary for us to bless him and bless for all eternity. May we not be indifferent to these things. Now again, in closing, I would warn any who might be unsaved in doing that. Because it's serious and a very serious matter. And if you leave this room unsaved, will you think about it tomorrow? that if death should overtake you at any moment, and you unsaved, you'd be ushered into a lost eternity and be there forever to taste the awful realities of a being away from God. Think of how serious that would be. Now, do you think salvation is necessary? Do you think it's a serious thing that time is passing on, and you are passing on, getting older and older, and even normally you'd soon be an old man? I know a little bit of an old man in the city of Denver who didn't care us like that, you know, for years. He knew the truth, he knew perhaps more scriptures than anyone in the room here tonight, and could quote many of them. He was warned many times in his life what was going on with. He turned a deaf ear to it. He didn't like that sort of thing. But what happened? He died a miserable death. And now, where is he? He's without God and without hope in a lost eternity because he rejected the offer of mercy. I'm sure he sat in many a meeting like this where the word of God was upheld, where Christ was upheld as a savior of sinners. And he's caught that. He's laughed at it. You know what's the result? Now he's lost and no more chance. I've heard man say often, you know, I won't be alone if I leave this scene unsaved. I'll say it alone. Many are going to be there in that awful scene which is called hell. Why? Because they rejected just a little too long. They refused just a little too long. And what was the result? Lost. Dear ones, perhaps you won't have 11th hour opportunity, you know, as the thief on the cross had. He made a wonderful testimony, an upright one. But all the other ones wasn't saved in that last 11th hour. Perhaps it'll not be so with you. Think of a serious day tonight. Don't go to bed tonight unless you put your trust in Christ. Or it becomes, there'll be a door closed, the door of salvation will never open again for you. It's serious, isn't it? We sing 54. We know there's a bright, glorious hope way in the heavens high, where all redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. But the youth is there and not gone. He the light on the sheet of gold in the fatherless God. They'll walk in the light of their father's smile. Will you be there and not? We take the loving Savior now, who for sinners once did die, when he gathers his own in that bright home, then you'll be there now. We are sheltered by the cross through the blood brought now, our utmost gain will count the loss, and you'll be there now. 54.